Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Manic Candace podcast. That's Candace with an I, as in India, not with an A, as in apple, with an I, as in India, igloo, whatever you want, whatever like symphonic you want to apply to it. It's Candace with an I, Spotify. Get it right. And get it right, Apple Podcasts. Anyways, what's up, you guys? It's your girl, Candace, back at it again with a brand new episode of the podcast. And today, this morning, this evening, this afternoon, it's good night, we're going to discuss the 2024 presidential debate between former President Trump and current Vice President Kamala Harris. Wow, that was a mouthful. I thought the last one was a mouthful. This one was a mouthful. What a debate. It ended 5 minutes ago. And I'm probably the first podcast covering it, hopefully, because we're bad bitches. But anyways, I want to talk about the key point of the debate. I believe it was the last almost 2 hours. They had a debate in Philadelphia tonight. It is September 10th, 2024, the eve of the 23rd anniversary of 9/11, and we will have some discussions about that at the end of the podcast. But I feel like they both did a great job. I will say that. I watched ABC News. I watched a debate on ABC News, and I felt the moderators were quite unfair to both of them. More favorable towards Harris. But, you know, Trump is someone that you either hate him or you don't. There's no in between. It wasn't as ridiculous as Biden versus Trump. I actually feel like Harris coming into the race for the Democratic Party is making this election fair. I feel like Donald Trump has some competition. As opposed to with Biden, he didn't have any competition. Let's be honest, that debate between him and Biden a few weeks back, it was devastating towards Biden. It's so much so that his own party booted him out the race, basically forced him out the race. Biden was screaming to the top of the lungs, like to his keyboard, that he was going to be the next president of the United States. He's going to carry out his second term. But it was just like an old senile old man talking and ranting with Ben and Jerry's ice cream in the White House. Like, it's very, at this point, I feel like Joe Biden has a body double. Like, we haven't seen a peep out of him since he dropped out of the race. And tonight, I saw a different side of Trump. And what do I mean by that? I mean, I saw someone that had to think. I saw someone that couldn't come up with answers to the question. I saw someone that all they did was reflect on the past and what they did in the past. They only highlighted the good parts of the past when he was president 4 years ago. And he spent most of his time, his 1 minute, 2 minute allotment on responses, he spent most of his time going after Biden, going after Obama. And he seems to forget that his competition is right next to him, which is now Kamala Harris. I think he thought that the election this year was in the bag a few weeks ago when Kamala Harris wasn't his opponent. And now it is. You guys, I will admit that the initial campaigning for Kamala Harris frightened me a little bit because it was very pandering towards the LGBTQ community. And what I didn't want was people to vote for Kamala just because she's a woman and just because she's black. Those are two reasons why you shouldn't vote for someone just because of their gender or just because of their race. For some people that voted for Obama just because he was black, like, they have regrets. So don't vote based off her gender and don't vote based off her race. But luckily her campaign has taken the criticism, because I wasn't the only one critical of her initial campaigning of the route she was taking. But it seemed to have calmed down a little bit. It's gone down to earth. I'm very impressed with Kamala Harris's proposed plans, with some of them. Not all. And we're going to talk about that right now. As a woman, I am very interested in getting my rights back to my body. I'm very interested in Roe v. Wade being restored, as Kamala Harris promised she would do as president tonight. I'm very serious about this issue. And it's not just because I don't want kids. It's because I have a sister, I have an aunt, I have a mom, I have a grandmother, I have friends, all women. And to know that they don't have access to abortion is just very, it's just very scary to me, because you're forced to carry out a term pregnancy that you don't want. And that just comes, that's what it boils down to. I'm sorry if that's not a good enough reason for you, but that's just what it boils down to. Whether a woman was raped, whether a woman didn't plan on it, whether she can't financially afford it, whether there's something medically wrong where she could be harmed if there's no abortion. We deserve our rights to our body back as women. I don't care what side you're on, that you deserve your rights. Whether you want them or not, you deserve your rights. So I'm very serious about this situation. I'm very serious about that. It goes beyond me choosing not to have children. I see this as a right and an issue for all women. And if you can't get with that, then like I don't know what to tell you, because like you're probably not a woman. And if you're a woman, you probably haven't thought far enough beyond yourself to think about your fellow sister. Like, come on. What about her? What about her choice? Do you respect that? So Kamala has came at Trump saying, you know, hey, you're all about Project 2025. And I haven't read Project 2025, but it's been used as a fear-mongering tactic throughout this debate. I've only heard rumors about Project 2025. I'm not going to share them because it's irrelevant to what I'm discussing. But she seemed to have his last presidency and the looming doom, impending doom of Project 2025 as her only reasons not to vote for him. What Trump has over Kamala is actual experience as president. And some people had an amazing time under his presidency that are going to vote for him again. Like, no matter his felonies, no matter his impeachments. Kamala Harris was asked a question specifically if she thinks Americans are better off financially now than they were 4 years ago. And she didn't answer that question. Instead, she talked about how she grew up as in a middle-class home, and that her mom was a small business owner and raised her and her sister, and that they had a second mom that was a small business owner, and she just went into this whole tangent about small business owners and how she's going to protect them. And then she went into like tax breaks, and then it was just like, okay, well, do you think Americans are better off financially today than they were 4 years ago during the pandemic? During the end of the presidency, during the beginning of your presidency, do you remember, or were you so caught up in your own finances that you don't think about the average American? I don't think she thinks about the average American and our bills. Rent, If you're late on rent, that's another $200 on top of rent that you don't have on time. Interest on credit cards, interest on homes, auto loans. Daycare is, who has it? You have, both parents got to be working an extra job just to pay for daycare. And even then, the daycare is not good. You know, you got kids like getting all types of infections and getting sick. And it's like, where are they? I don't. That's besides the point. What else do the average American pay for? Insurances on our vehicles and our homes. And God forbid we get sick. God forbid the doctor wants to see us for a follow-up. Who's got $90 for that? God forbid we have to go to the emergency room. Who's got $125, $150, $250 for that copay? You know, neither of them had any plans about our healthcare system. Neither of them. They just had points about what worked in the past and what about our current system is working. And it was just like, okay, do we get free healthcare or not? Because that's the question. That's what, like, we are divided on that issue, but that's what a chunk of us want, is free healthcare. Kamala Harris was, I want to go back to when she was asked if Americans were better off financially today than they were 4 years ago. 4 years ago, we couldn't afford homes. Today, we really can't afford homes. You know, 4 years ago, we could buy cars at an affordable price. We could buy used vehicles at a great price. Now, it's like we can't even negotiate. It's so expensive to buy a used vehicle. Vehicles that were once $18,000, $22,000 max, brand new, are now $32,000, $42,000, $50,000 brand new vehicles. And I'm talking Toyotas. I'm talking Hyundais. Not a Mercedes, not a BMW. Forget those. And 4 years ago, our groceries were way more affordable than they are now. I don't know about you guys, but when I go to the market to feed my... I'm one person. You guys, what's in my fridge right now is apples. Because rent was due. Holla. Internet was due. What else was due? Everything was due. But I went to the grocery store with the money I had left for groceries. And now I'm living off apples. Ain't that some shit? Lost 5 pounds. Hey. I want an opportunity to buy an affordable home. And I'm not asking for much. I'm asking for the American dream. I'm asking for the bare minimum as an American. I have a right to the American dream. She has no plan on how to get me an affordable single family home. She has no plan. She has vision. But I know damn well, like, you know, that she has to go up against the greatest powers that be in the financial world, aka BlackRock and Vanguard, who are buying up all the single family homes, the multifamily homes, entire neighborhoods, and either renting them out or not renting them out, or just sitting on them until their value increases in a couple years and then selling them off so they can have, what's the phrase? So they can maximize shareholder profits. Ugh. I hate our financial system. It's a scam. It's a fucking scam. How do you put in a dollar and you get out $20,000, but your neighbor who may be black or like grew up in a disadvantaged neighborhood or what the fuck ever, maybe he's the exact same demographic as you, puts in a dollar and loses $10,000. Like how, what in the same system? Write me an essay, write me a one page essay on how this American stock market works. I guarantee you, you're not that smart because it's so stupid. It's so stupid and it's twisted. It's a labyrinth of lies is what it is. The stock system, the trading, like all, everything. I can't even begin to unravel the scam of the American financial system before you in a podcast, but maybe one day. So I want an affordable home. You want an affordable home. I live, you know, I can't even complain about where I put myself. I put myself in a very nice place, but, you know, in 5 years, are the prices of the homes now, are they going to be even more astronomical? The average price of a home in California, you guys, is $940,000. That's $1 million. Once you add in like escrow, tax, processing fees, like all that shit, that's $100,000. Inspections, insurance. It's a lot. It adds up. And I don't know about you, but not, I haven't been to California in a while, but I will be next month because I'm going to Disneyland, holla. But LA, California in general is not what it used to be. California used to be the spot to live or the place to you aspire to be one day when you get your big job, like when you get your family. Oh, let's move to California. Now Florida is the new California. California, I have a follower and I follow her on Twitter. Her name is Greta. She's awesome. She's from New York City. But she went to LA and she's like, this place is fucking trash. And like, I always value people's opinions from New York. So I was just like, it must be worse than I thought. And to live there at a cost of $940 million when the average salary is like $60,000 to $75,000. You'll be in the hole forever. Let's say, and Joe Rogan said this, let's say you don't have any taxes on the property. Let's say you don't have any expenses and you just have that mortgage. It's like you're still going to be so far deep in the hole. You're going to die with that debt. You're going to die with that mortgage. So why even sign it? Who's giving out mortgages to motherfuckers who make an average salary? I feel like this is 2008 all over again. And if you don't know what happened in 2008, you are way too young to be listening to this podcast. Why are people 0 through 17 listening to the Manic Candace podcast? Why? I looked at my demographics and I almost spit. I was like, whose children are listening to me? Trump has no economic plan, by the way. And, you know, I'm concerned either way who wins. I'm not someone in this election who, as a voter, is excited. This is probably the first election where I'm not excited. 8 years ago, I was all for Bernie Sanders. I was ready for it. You know, the young crowd was ready for it. Was ready for the burn, feel the burn. But, you know, that didn't happen. And we got Trump. You know, we had Trump for 4 years. At the end of the 4 years, we had COVID. I don't think it's fair to judge him based off of COVID. Like, I, because that shit was insane. That shit was fucking insane. None of us knew what the fuck we were doing. And I feel like it could have went a lot worse if he didn't ban certain flights from certain countries when he did. Let's just be fucking real. But I don't like how Biden has cleaned up the economy from COVID. I mean, what has he cleaned? Like, everything's gotten way more expensive. Companies just got richer. There was the greatest wealth transfer in 2020, like, than there was ever, because all the stocks went low, the rich bought when it was low, and then now the stocks are like triple what they were in 2024. I'm so glad I sold my shares in Boeing. Jesus Christ. They both talked about climate change, and Kamala highlighted some points that I never thought of. And I want to share them. It really struck a chord with me, and it made me think. You know, I believe in climate change. I live in Phoenix, Arizona, and I swear to you, every summer, it gets hotter. We no longer have a consistent monsoon season, which was something that we were known for as a state and as a desert, as a region. The winters get very, very cold. And I know I'm from Phoenix and 80 degrees is cold to me, but listen, if it's getting colder for me every year, I'm feeling it get colder, then that means like there's something going on. You know, it's snow starting to snow in places that never recorded snow or hasn't recorded snow in hundreds of years. So Kamala said that, you know, some homeowners are getting denied coverage for insurance. We're not getting denied, but their insurance coverage is going up because their region is now deemed like a disaster zone because of how climate change, how weather changes have happened in the area. And that just like makes me think, it's like how many politicians are exploiting climate change for their own benefit. And that's what makes a working class person like me not like climate change tax changes. And Donald Trump, I don't think he believes in climate change. Not really. So that's a little concerning. I mean, he's almost 80. He's almost out the door. You know, in like 20 years, he'll probably be dead, most likely. I don't think he's thinking about his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren, what kind of world they're going to have to live in. I don't think he gets it. And it was really frustrating to like hear him waste his time on talking shit about Biden, about Obama, about people who aren't even running for president right now. He was saying about how he did this better than Obama, by the way. Better than Biden. Biden didn't do this. Blah, blah, blah. The one thing that I will agree with on Trump tonight, 100%, is that we need to get the fuck out of Ukraine. And then Kamala brought up this point that if we were to just let Putin invade and take Ukraine, that his next move would be Poland. That it wouldn't stop at Ukraine, regardless. And I agree with that. I believe, you know, as much as I joke and I kiki about Putin and, like, you know, all that shit, I think we're better than Russia, you know, as a country, as a nation. I feel like one American is better than the whole nation of Russia. You know, I do believe that if we didn't do anything for Ukraine, that he would have taken it. And he'd be trying to take an, like, the he would try to take on Europe piece by piece. But is that fear-mongering? I think so. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. So Trump has no economic plan. He has no healthcare plan. His only plan is to be president again, for president's sake, for his sake, for his ego, for his confidence, for his identity, for his legacy. I don't know what the fuck you want to call it. You know, I feel like Vice President Kamala Harris knows what time it is. And I feel like I commend her on not leaning on her gender and her race. So, which is something Obama did. Well, Obama didn't do it overtly, but he let other people do it for him, and he didn't really, his campaign management didn't really pipe that hype down. People were just so ready for a black president. I was. Shit. But he bombed the fuck out of Syria for like 8 years. I'm like, what is up with you, man? My God. So, it's basically 9/11. By the time you're listening to this, it's 9/11. It's been 23 years, and I just want to paint a picture for those of you who weren't alive during 9/11, or were an infant, or 1 to 2 years old. It's like someone flipped a light switch in our country. We were in our bubble, we were secure, we were world leader, we were your big brother. Now we're your big brother / high school bully. You know, we are so defensive now as a nation when it comes to, like, helping other countries in wars, when it comes to financing wars, when it comes to even, like, the cops against, like, black people. It's like things just got really, really intense after 9/11. We started, like, going against each other, if that makes sense. It's like that's when we were to a high degree always against each other with the vast history of racism in this country. But I'm talking, like, you know, Christians against Muslims in this country. It's just hatred. That's what happened after 9/11. It was just a lot of hatred against Christians and Muslims. And it was just back and forth. My God versus your God. And for those people that don't remember what it was like as a Christian, I'm going to tell you, a Christian that has left the church. I call myself a Christian because I still believe in Christ. But as a Christian during that time, I felt the hate from my community towards the Muslim community. And I felt something, whether it was hate, whether it was fear, I don't know what it was exactly, from the Muslims all around the world towards Christians after, like, once 9/11 happened. Because one thing Americans are good at, and the American media is good at, is, like, taking things for face value and running for it. And, like, running with it. It's like all of a sudden everyone with the hijab was a terrorist and like, come on. You know, by the time I got to college with all of this propaganda in my head, I was afraid of Arabs. I was afraid of them. Didn't matter what country they were. I was ignorant to the countries in the Middle East. I was ignorant to the languages they spoke. I was ignorant that there were Christian Arabs. I was just ignorant until I started talking to them. I started learning about the different countries and how they're so different, even though we have put them in this box since 9/11. And we're not free anymore as citizens since 9/11. The Bank Secrecy Act, the Patriot Act. You know, the reason why your phone knows your thoughts and the ads are so precise of what you were just thinking and what you were just talking about, what you were just searching on the internet. It's because of 9/11. All those permissions given to telecom and banks, telecom companies and banks and tech companies, it all started with 9/11. If you're listening to this and I'm dead and gone and it's been like 20 years since this episode has premiered and America has been attacked again, really look at it. Who allowed it to happen? You know, I think about our position in the world, how we're number one. And I think about our intelligence, the CIA, the FBI, you know, our military. How did we let 9/11 happen? You know, I am one of those people that believes 9/11 was a false flag attack, just like Pearl Harbor. Pearl Harbor was allowed to happen or made to happen, false flag attack, because we needed a reason to enter World War II. We were neutral. We, in the beginning, said we're not going to be involved. One thing led to another. And next thing you know, we're in the war. We're dropping bombs. We end the war. We win the war. Will we ever learn as a country? We put ourselves in a position to police everybody, and now I don't see a way out of it unless we are confronted head on. By who? BRICS? You guys, this has been Candace with the Manic Candace Podcast. Thank you for listening to my rant tonight. And if you tuned into the debate, thank you for being a responsible American citizen. I know we had work today. I know that our back hurts. We have laundry to do. Our houses are kind of dirty. You know, I got stuck in the elevator today at my apartment complex during work hours, so that was fun. I really, really appreciate you guys for listening. Please share this episode with your friends, family, and your followers. And I bid you adieu. Bye-bye.